This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
High Noon here on WEEI. It's Jones and Keith. Every Celtics Wednesday at High Noon, we're joined by Justin Turpin, WEEI. What's going on, Turp?
What's up, guys? What's going on?
I want to start with something you went to last night. We can get into the Celtics final tune-up before the All-Star break. Wembanyama tonight at the Garden. I want your thoughts on him, why the Celtics are better on the road, et cetera, et cetera. But you were at an event, Tatum, Drew Hamlin, last night. Well, I don't know. Describe. I heard Mego talking about this a little bit on the Greg Hill show. Describe what it was and what your takeaways were.
Yeah, so Drew Hamlin, for those that don't know, has been Jason Tatum's skills coach since he was in middle school. So it was no surprise when he was teasing this event with a special guest that it was going to be Jason Tatum that walked through the door. And when he did, I don't think many people were surprised. But it was really cool because they showed kind of behind-the-scenes footage of his workout with the Celtics with Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens there, his one workout with Kobe Bryant. And I think this is something that most people don't know, is he only worked out with Kobe once. And so to see the video from that was really cool. They showed video from him in high school and just his workout regimen now. And my biggest takeaway is just like how much goes into this. And obviously, you know how hard these athletes work to get to where they want to be. But actually seeing those behind the scenes footage of them going through this workout routine and sticking with it from when he was in middle school is just it was impressive to watch. And it was cool to see that version of Jason Tatum where it's not the traditional media sense where there's this microphone in front of his mouth and he kind of has to watch what he said, and he kind of relaxed a little bit last night, and he was still, you know, being himself, kind of
mindful.
But I mean, it was cool to see him in that sense, and you know, it gives you a new appreciation.
No, it is true. I think because a lot of times you take it for granted because you watch the games,
right,
in all the sports, and you're like, oh, these guys are just naturally good. And it's like, well, part of that's true. Like, they have to be, you know, naturally a certain degree of athletic, but then like the amount of work these guys put in is pretty off the charts.
Yeah, they said before at the end of every workout they'd run the court 25 times because it was rumored that that's what NBA teams did when you went in for a workout to see if you were in shape. And they never actually ended up doing that, but they did it before at the end of every workout. So that stuff's cool.
Yeah. So maybe you just answered it, and I don't know, is any of this embargoed? Like, are you not allowed to share any of it? Or but what jumped out from, I know you said kind of watching the full amount of work that goes into it from a young age, but from the Celtics workout specifically, even more so than the Kobe workout, like what jumped out from that foot? Stevens, Ainge, could you glean anything from that?
Nothing really, because that was kind of a quicker video, so it wasn't really anything to take away from that, but it was just cool to see them kind of working through his fadeaway shots, whatever it may be, with the Celtics brass right there in front of him, well, especially when it wasn't really publicly viewed before.
It's obvious, too, like, and this happens with a lot of these rookies. This will happen with Wembanyama, I'm sure, and probably already has. But him coming into the league, Keith, and like how wiry he was versus like how much of a man he is now.
Yep.
And so I'm sure some of that is striking as well. You think Tatum deserves any consideration for MVP?
I do. I mean, again, it feels like every year we have this conversation, and I know the Celtics aren't as dominant as they were last year, but he is the best player on the best team, and he's leading that team in points, rebounds, and assists. And you see what he's doing now. Just look at the last two games. He completely took over those games. He owned New York on Saturday and did the same thing after a slow first half against Miami. So eventually his time will come. I think right now everyone knows it's going to be SGA. I mean, he's a big favorite. He's got that minus next to his name on the DraftKings odds. That usually says a lot, especially at this point of the season. So eventually he's going to get one. I don't think this is the year, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's interesting because he has hit this spot where he is an automatic first-team All-NBA. It seems like pretty consistently it's like, all right, roll out of bed, top five player. And then it's going to come down to somebody else that maybe doesn't have the teammates around him or whatever, or like is going to get more credit for that team's success. It feels like as long as he is on the favorite, I think it's going to be tough for him to win it.
Yeah, it's because the team is so good, take a hit. And that's been a problem now for the last couple of years, right. Especially now that he's taken a bigger step and he's more of a perennial MVP candidate. It feels like this is a discussion every year. It's like the team being so good actually hurts his chances. And eventually, it's going to happen, right? People are going to have to move on just because of the financial state of this team, so eventually things are going to change, and I think then he'll get one. I mean, it's no secret he's eventually going to win one. It's just a matter of when.
Well, I wonder if he's going to win one. For instance, it's Wembanyama tonight against Tatum, which I know we're excited about, and I'm just curious if Celtics fans realize, you know, what he likely is going to be in very short order. I compared it earlier to, you know, Connor McDavid early in his career coming in, where you're really looking at, you know, the next Gretzky, the next Sid Crosby, whatever. And Wembanyama is kind of taking that from LeBron, it seems. Who do you think wins one first, Wembanyama or Tatum?
I think it'll be Tatum. I still think Wembanyama has a little bit of time to go. I mean, he's only 21, and he's taken a step this year, but I think he does have a little bit more time to go. And the thing is with Jason Tatum, too, is the more he keeps winning, and I know he's been a winner throughout his entire career, but the more he keeps winning championships and having deeper runs, you get more consideration in that. I think there is some sort of factor that comes with that. And I think you saw that with Jaylen Brown this year. I think he's getting a little bit more attention, and he's not having as strong as a year as he did last year, but he won the Eastern Conference Finals MVP and NBA Finals MVP. So that kind of carries some weight. And there's a respect that comes with that that I think does gain consideration when you're looking at these end of season awards.
Best NBA player to not win the MVP. Anybody jump to mind? Because I'm just trying to think of, like, there are guys that
to not win MVP. Not to not win a championship.
No.
Best player to not win an MVP.
Right, because like Terp's point, because like, I don't know, he might be right. Like, he might eventually win an MVP.
I was thinking this too. Like, who had the most first team all NBA appearances before they, I mean, he's probably online to win an MVP. You're right about that.
Because like guys do kind of break through, and maybe there's like voter fatigue.
Do you have
a name
in mind?
Jerry West.
Jerry West, the logo, never won an MVP.
He won a finals MVP.
He did. In a loss. So D. Wade, I would say there's a chance Tatum is trending towards a better career than D. Wade. D. Wade's nasty. I think, like, you see him at the end of his career and everything else, but D. Wade was nasty. But, yeah, so D. Wade didn't win an MVP.
Kobe won an MVP, right?
So Kobe only won, like, one.
Right.
So that was sort of the big stat with him, but, like, he still won. Yeah, so like, Chris Paul, like, I think is wildly overrated. I'm really glad he did not win an MVP.
But John Stockton never won one.
Crazy. Yeah, but he played with a guy who won two.
Yeah,
he also played with a guy that won two.
Generic list, first one that popped up, hoops hype. Jerry West.
Okay.
Elgin Baylor.
All right, so old school.
Wade. Isaiah.
So Isaiah's a good one.
Pippen, Paul.
Oh, so now you're already getting that. So like Pippen, I love.
Havlicek, Stockton,
I defend Pippen,
Kawhi,
like,
Patrick Ewing. That's top 10. Ewing's a good one.
Yeah, Ewing is a good one.
So Ewing's a good one. But also like Pippen and Ewing and
Isaiah.
Stockton didn't win, and Isaiah didn't win because of Jordan. Isaiah also a little bit of magic, I guess, too, at that point. But, yeah, it's a good one because normally guys that are perennial.
Based on that list, Luka hasn't won yet. Based on that list, you're right, though. Tatum should break through.
Maybe
and win
he will.
One.
Tatum
yeah.
has finished top six in MVP voting the last 3 years, too.
Right.
Like,
and this
he's
year,
been
I think
knocking
this,
at the door.
Probably be the same.
He'll be in the top five, I think, this year as well. I just don't think he wins.
Because wasn't it a couple years ago there was like that big push, like, it should be Joel Embiid. It should be. You're like, all right, fine. So, like, didn't Joel Embiid win one?
Yeah,
and Embiid
won
one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like Jokic should have just won all of them.
I get the fatigue. I didn't really get giving it to Embiid, but I got the fatigue on Jokic.
So I guess the question will be, like, when Jokic is no longer the best player or there's a year he's, like, hurt, is that the year that, like, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander gets it?
That's
and, like, how soon is Wemby going to get it?
Yeah, so I if I had to pick who's going to win an MVP first.
But Wemby better start winning games.
True. But they've already won more games than they won a year ago. Like, they're
granted, it's only 23.
No, they're not.
But still.
They're not even 500, right?
Right.
But they also just got they have four games with De'Aaron Fox or whatever it is. So let's see. I'd imagine they start winning soon, but you're right. He absolutely has to do that. I would think Wembanyama first, although that list is intriguing because you're right. All the great players break through and win an MVP.
It also kind of brings a new appreciation to the talent in the league now when you're having these conversations.
Yeah,
like guys like Wemby, SGA, Jokic, Luka, Tatum. There's just so many young players.
You could do a good Four Nations NBA.
Yeah,
real
you
nice.
Could.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we kind of had that with the Olympics.
U.S.,
yeah, saw that.
Canada, France
is loaded.
Canada, U.S.
Yeah, Spain's kind of gone downhill a little bit. After the Gasol brothers.
Off the Gasols.
Gasol and Ricky Rubio. See what you got left.
Rudy Fernandez. Yeah, it's not much of a team anymore.
It's not bad.
No, it's true.
Older dudes.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What do you think? We're premature in the Wembanyama conversation that it's he'll be the face of the league in short order?
No, not at all. I think everyone that watches him play and watches the NBA at large would agree with that. It's just a matter of time until he does take over this league. I mean, he's only 21. And he's in his second year as a pro. He's only going to get better, and he's already kind of taken a leap this year. So it is just a matter of time until this is his league. And I like that the NBC commercials included him in there because it's going to be him in a short order.
So home game tonight, so they'll have a chance to add to this, I guess, positively or negatively. But one of the stories we've been talking about this week is Celtics are 22-6 on the road, 16-10 at home. Well, best working theory as to why that is.
I think there's just a tendency to let their foot off the gas at home. And maybe it's because there's more distractions when you're at home. You're back at home at your house and all that. And I also think maybe they look up and see that banner in the rafters and like, hey, you know what? We earned that. We know what we can do. And they kind of let their foot off the gas a little bit. I really think it is as simple as that. And then obviously we've been talking about it all year that opposing teams are coming in and giving them their best shot every single night. So when you take your foot off the gas and the opposing team is going all in, it's going to lead to losses, and that's what happened. But I really do think tonight will be a little bit different. They've been really vocal, the players have, about heading into All-Star break on the right foot. And right now they've won 9 of their last 12, 6 of their last 7, and it's been a gauntlet for them over this last month.
The loss in there, just FYI, was terrible against the Mavs, like a Mavs team with hardly anybody in there.
Another one where they come off a road trip and lose the game at home in kind of embarrassing fashion. But since January 15th, they haven't had more than one day off between games.
And look, and they are playing better. I'll give them that. When it comes to those two records, the home record and the red flag that it is versus the road record, which I think could be evidence of when this team needs to, they can turn it on. Which record to you is more telling?
I think the road record is, because like you said, they can just flip that switch. And if you look at the numbers we just looked at, two of those wins came over New York and Cleveland, who are the ones that are you're sandwiched in between in the middle.
It's a tough look for I'm a Knicks guy as the biggest competitor in the East. Smashed. Like that's been a tough look in the two games against New York. Yeah.
I can't remember it off the top of my head, but I did the math the other day. I think it's only 49 seconds they've trailed against New York this season in two games of basketball. They've trailed for 49 seconds, which is just crazy. They just have way too many pick and roll targets, and the Knicks just don't have an answer for the Celtics. If those two are to see in a postseason series, I don't think that one's going to be really close. It is a terrible matchup for New York.
So you think, because I think it's a bad matchup for the Cavs. You think the Cavs are the tougher team in the East for the Celtics?
For the Celtics, yes. Yeah, I do.
Score one for Keith. Agreed.
They've played the Celtics tough this year. In most of those games have come down.
The last game was a beatdown, but they at least beat them,
New York has been not even close.
No, true.
It's they just ran away with those games. But the two Cleveland games before the last one were tight. They played them, and I think they both came down to two possessions. So Cleveland plays them tough, and Cleveland obviously just got DeAndre Hunter, so a little bit better, a little bit more help there. Though Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown have cooked that guy over the course of their careers. So we'll see. I still think the East runs through Boston, even though they might not have the one seed.
Do we ever get an official answer on if Torrey Craig is with Megan Thee Stallion?
Great question.
I mean, social media is saying so. I think Scal was all worked up over that.
Scal was hot and bothered.
Scal was probably still worked up over it.
But we didn't know what was going on there. You never know. So he hasn't played yet. Does he even have a role, or is that just sort of like a financial, like we're getting rid of Springer, we have a roster spot, we'll bring in Craig. He's a veteran NBA player, but like, are we going to see him at all? Does he have a role?
No. I mean, you'll see him, especially come the end of the season when guys start taking nights off. And he does bring a veteran presence. And people forget during that the Phoenix Suns run to the finals. Like, he was an everyday contributor on that team. So he has experience in the postseason. He shot the ball well from three over the last 3 years, and he can play defense. When he was in New Zealand to start his career, he won Defensive Player of the Year over there. So I know the competition
was not on his basketball reference page.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So he'll have a role, but it's not going to be anything major.
Yeah, no, I mean,
the top nine is the top nine. And barring any injuries, that's what it's going to be.
Okay.
So.
Well, right now, Drew Holiday's hurt. Is there any reason for concern with that?
I don't think so. I think it's also he played through the Olympics, played one of the longest seasons last year. So I think they are just kind of managing him. And now he's going to get, 2 weeks off between games with the All-Star break and the couple games he's taken off now. So I'm not really worried about it. And ever since he came back on New Year's Eve, his numbers were trending up and they've kind of fluctuated a little bit, but that's just the way it goes across an NBA season. So, come the postseason, Drew Holiday is going to be there and answer the call. Just look it back to that Pacers series last year. I mean, what he did, how he executed down the stretch. I mean, he had a case for Eastern Conference Finals MVP as well.
Oh, he definitely did.
No, just looking at the numbers, you might not think that, but if you look at the actual impact he had on those games, he had a case. So, come the postseason, Drew Holiday is going to be ready to go, and he's going to make those winning plays, and that's why they went out and got him.
Do we ever get an actual answer as to why Jaylen Brown's not in the dunk contest this year? Because last year, I was like, hey, maybe this is a positive sign that all stars and real players that people know are going to do it. He wasn't great in it, but I was just happy that he did it. And I think he even said in the immediate aftermath, like, yeah, it'd be something I'd do again. And then here we are, 2025, they announce who it is, and it's four scrubs. So, and did he ever get asked about that?
I believe he did reference some of the lower body injuries he's dealt with this year. So
Got
I think that played into it. And I would be surprised if he doesn't do it again. I really do expect him. I do expect him to be back.
Hopefully,
eventually.
He gets somebody to join him.
I'd be surprised.
The thing with Jaylen, though,
but okay,
is he kind of used it as a platform to, like, you know, it was really on brand with him. Is he kind of everything had meaning, right? It wasn't necessarily about the dunk itself. It was about the story.
Yeah, maybe
of
he
the
should
dunk,
do. Maybe he should do less of that and more of the focusing on the dunks, because that was not.
But
not
that was
a great showing.
That's on brand. That's.
I'll
how
give
he
him
is.
Credit for just doing it. Like, no, there hasn't been a star player in years
too.
To do it.
But then the year after the star player did it, look at what we're left
they
with.
Bailed.
It's worse than ever. It's a worse field than ever.
It might be one of the historically the worst groups.
Yeah,
we can compare it maybe later in the week.
I saw Jaylen took a shot at Donovan Mitchell last night on the Tonight Show. He's like, oh yeah, I would have rehearsed that dunk with Donovan Mitchell if he ever showed up.
Well,
so
Mitchell
little,
did some dunk contests.
Little shot. No, Mitchell actually did well.
He threw down
in a dunk contest.
That's
true. The whole idea of the Jaylen being involved in the dunk contest, you were talking before, Peyton Pritchard turned down the 3-point contest.
Yeah.
That surprised me.
Yeah, I thought he would be too. I think he's eyeing a vacation because he was talking about looking ahead to the All-Star break and how he was going to get away and maybe have a drink or two. So I think he's just looking forward to that.
Is he getting married or is he already married?
He's already married. He's married. Off season.
Okay. So there's no like, I gotta jam in wedding prep or my wife's making me do X, Y, and Z.
No, he's good.
He just wants a break instead of going to the 3-point contest.
I mean, he's going to be playing pickup in Southie or everywhere, or North End.
I thought he was pure hoops. I thought he was pure hoops.
He's
apparently
the purist.
Okay, but
move over LeBron.
But that's not true. Taking a break. If he's pure, if he wants to go to Cancun in the middle of the season,
he'll have other opportunities to go into the 3-point contest.
Will he?
I think so, yeah.
I don't know.
He leads the NBA or leads reserves in 3-pointers off the bench. He's in the top 10 for the longest time. I haven't really looked at that.
This would be the year to strike while the iron's hot, one would think. So that doesn't feel like pure hoops. Taking a break and kicking his feet up in Cancun does not feel like pure hoops.
I mean, with the schedule they've had, and that guy doesn't. He missed a game actually recently with an illness, but that guy does not take time off. So if he wants to take a week off,
he is taking time off. That's what he's doing.
If he wants to do that, then he's earned it.
This isn't a mandatory 100%. Event.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying, but I just, that it doesn't sound like pure hoops.
No, it's pure.
Pure
maybe
hoops.
Maybe he's playing actual
pure
like pickup games. He's like, that's just shooting. He's like, I got to play. I got to pass and run, set screens.
Pure hoops was the bubble.
He'll be in the lab.
It was all about the basketball.
That's all
no
it was.
No
yes.
breaks.
You're right.
This feels like a break.
Right.
Not,
I mean,
not
it is
pure
a break,
hoops.
But he's earned it. You need him for the postseason. If you want to go get right, go ahead.
Okay. Terp, thanks so much. You can check out all his work at WEEI. You can follow him on Twitter and Instagram at Justin M. Turpin. Good stuff at Tatum and Drew Hanlon's event last night. So check that out. We'll get back to your phone call, 617-779-7937. We'll get back to how the Patriots plan on building their team this offseason. We have some insight into that from Greg Bedard that we'll get to right after Trending with Billy Lanny.